You're listening to Trek FM.
This episode of To The Journey is brought to you by Audible.com, offering more than 150,000 titles for your tablet, smartphone, and desktop. Support the show and get a free audiobook of your choice by visiting audibletrial.com/trekfm.
Hi, this is Garrett Wong. I played Ensign Harry Kim on Voyager, and you're listening to Trek FM.
This is another episode of To The Journey.
To the journey!
My name is Charlene Schmidt, and with me, as he is every single week, is...
Tristan Riddell.
And Tristan, you were kind of giving me hell about something earlier this week on iMessage, and I am happy to report that I'm going to come through for you finally, because you mentioned earlier in the week that over the years here that we have done To The Journey, that you have told me on several occasions, you've got to watch Futurama. You've got to watch it. Please watch it. Would you just please freaking watch it already? And then you've been looking, or you've been listening to back episodes of To The Journey, and apparently this happened in so many instances that you got on my case about it again, and you're like, Char, would you just watch this already?
Yeah, like, that's what happened, is that, like, I've been going back and listening to most of our To The Journey episodes, because, I don't know, like, we've been going for more than 2 years now. And it's not like we're running out of ideas or anything like that, because we have way more ideas that we haven't even talked about yet. But
oh, yeah.
I just wanted to go through and see, like, okay, how often do we talk about this subject? How often do we not talk about this subject? And one thing that I noticed was, oh my gosh, like, every fifth episode, I'm dogging Char to watch Futurama, because, like, there's so many Star Trek references in Futurama that I bring it up all the time. And Char's like, oh yeah, no, I don't watch Futurama. And I'm like, well, watch it. And I do this, like, over the past 2 years, I've done it like 10 times. And so you finally taken my advice.
I did. I finally just did it. I went onto Netflix and started it up and watched the first two episodes. And you're absolutely right. It is chock full of Star Trek references. And it is a great show. I did enjoy it. I'm probably going to keep going, you know, maybe watch an episode here, one there. I'm not probably going to binge on it, because it's a nice, easy thing to digest. I'm figuring, you know, like, one and done every night, and then slowly go through the series. But it is cute, and I'm enjoying it. And, of course, in the very first episode is, fittingly, Leonard Nimoy's head.
Yeah, I forgot about that when I suggested it to you. Like, I should have used that as a jumping off point, saying, like, well, if you watch the Space Pilot, because that's what it's called.
Right. Space Pilot 3000.
Yeah, Space Pilot 3000. If you one of the many, many treats of that episode is getting Leonard Nimoy, and it's in the future when they can put people's heads into jars, and that's how they live forever.
Yes. And they talk to you.
And they talk to you, and they have a head museum. And Leonard Nimoy is on display in there. And I was like, if that technology existed, that's what would happen. It's like front and center in this museum.
Totally.
You would have Leonard freaking Nimoy. And
I want that museum so bad now. That is the museum that everybody would go to talk to whomever. I mean, heck yeah, you'd have something you'd have somebody for everybody.
Yeah. And it's so funny too, because it was such a cute and genius way for the writers to bring in current celebrities into the show, but also bring in historical figures. So, like, you would get, you know, like, Pamela Anderson, but you would also get George Washington in the same episode.
Right. Yeah. And in fact, one of my favorite things, and I'm going to have to go back and see all of the names that they had listed, but there's a scene where you see several names. I mean, besides the presidents, they've got various other heads. And I noticed Matt Groening, the creator of The Simpsons and Futurama, among others, and I need to go and look at the stills, because I'm sure they're out there, of all the other names that flew by in that little millisecond of a clip.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's just tons and tons and tons of pop culture references there, and he was the one that I noticed.
There's a lot of times in Futurama where you, like, it is built so that you have to pause and review it later. Like, this show is built for the super geek like us, and...
Great.
And the first four seasons are just absolute, utter genius. And then they kind of go in, like, they got canceled, and then they go into doing movies, but then I think it's on Netflix, like, where each movie is split up into 5 episodes or something like that.
Oh, really? Okay, I didn't even know that they did movies.
Yeah, or not 5 episodes, it might be less, but yeah, they release them as straight-to-DVD movies. And okay. And so, but they structured them in a way so that if they did get released on TV, that it would be, like, one movie would be like 4 episodes or something like that. So I think that's how they released. So I think season 5 is all of the movies just parceled out. And gotcha. Then they got renewed on Comedy Central and then they got canceled again. But the thing is, like, I really like what you said about, like, you don't have to binge it. Like, it's just, it's very easy to digest, one and done. I like that. Like, I am in no way against binge watching because I do it all the time, but not everything has to be watched in a marathon every single time you watch it.
Yeah, honestly, I think with Futurama, I think it's easier and better to enjoy it just instead of a massive marathon where I think, I don't know, I don't want to say I would grow tired of it, but I just don't think I would enjoy it quite as much. Whereas, like, with House of Cards, because you and I both binged that the day it came out.
Mm-hmm.
And that, like, that's what that weekend was at the end of February. that's a completely different thing for some reason. I'm not sure why, but my attitude is very different about Futurama. And I'm going to keep watching it, for sure.
It's great for geeks. And we aren't just Star Trek geeks. We're big geeks about sci-fi. And there's tons and tons of esoteric references that only certain members of fandoms would get. And it doesn't detract from the story at all because it's just like little Easter eggs throughout your entire history of being a geek. And for right. those of you, I cannot remember if I've talked about it on this show or on the Nerd Party or on a guesting show, but have we talked about Where No Fan Has Gone Before, that episode?
Oh boy, you might have brought it up here, but it was so far back, I couldn't tell you when or how that happened.
Well, there's an episode called Where No Fan Has Gone Before, and it's entirely dedicated to Star Trek, where...
Okay, I've seen clips of this.
Yeah, the Futurama crew meets the original series cast, and they're on some far-flung planet where, like, you know, we just talked about how... you know, people can exist with their heads in jars, and they're on some far-flung planet, and they all have bodies. They were brought on by some super fan who was an alien who gave them bodies and their original Star Trek outfits so that they could play out his favorite scenes from the show and also his fan scripts.
Okay, I didn't know how this happened.
Yeah, and it's odd how much we can relate to this episode, even though it's such a far-fetched
idea. Yeah, oh my gosh, like it's the ultimate fan fantasy, right? You could have more than just even like a convention in your house. You could have them recreating all of your favorite moments. Oh my gosh, that's brilliant!
And so I cannot wait for you to get to that episode. And also, people listening, if you've tried Futurama and you don't like it, or you have no interest in starting a new show, you need to at least watch this episode Where No Fan Has Gone Before.
Okay, fair enough. Do you know which season it's in?
I don't, but I heard this thing called Google, where if you just...
Oh, whoa.
I'm just messing with you. No, I don't know, but but people like, yeah, just Google it, and just Google Where No Fan Has Gone Before to let you know what season it is. And I know it's in within the first 4 seasons, so I'm thinking 3 or 4.
Okay, fantastic. Yeah, I can't wait for that now. But I will try to go chronologically. I really, 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 I'm a completionist, so I don't want to skip around. But I do recommend, like, if I can finally get off my butt and commit to doing it, other fans out there who are listening, if you have been resistant for whatever reason, don't be. It's great. You'll enjoy it. Just get started.
All right, well, we should probably get into our topic of the week.
Yeah, as Greg Proop says, we should start the show.
Let's start the show.
And our topic for this week is, what if during the course of the show, and it could be any time in the 7-year run, what if Janeway had died?
And this was a topic suggestion.
It was. We had a listener submit this, and his name is John Wolford, so thank you very much for this. We're going to discuss various scenarios, various places in the Voyager journey where Janeway might have died. And I don't know if we necessarily need to go chronologically, but I'm thinking, what if we start with Caretaker? Because I think this is a very open and shut case. It would be a very different show, obviously. But what if... And hear me out on this. What if, for whatever reason, we never got Kate Mulgrew? And Jean-Vive Bujold didn't quit. And the producers are like, oh my God, what are we going to do? They film Caretaker with Genevieve Bujold in its entirety, but she dies in episode 2. Okay, so I know I'm off on a really weird angle here. It's a different Janeway, it's a different actress, and a very different show. Do you think this would have worked? Would people have been grateful? And do you think the show would have survived?
Well, I'm going to disagree with you a little bit just to make it simpler. Let's make this simpler. Let's not do any alternate realities except for the death. Like let's just say it was Janeway. Let's just say it was Janeway.
Like okay, not necessarily Catherine Janeway.
Yeah, like not necessarily a different actress, not even necessarily Kate Mulgrew or anything like that. Let's just say Janeway, okay? Female captain named Janeway that we saw in Caretaker died at the end of Caretaker or in the second episode. I feel like let's talk about this from a production standpoint. Let's talk about this from an outsider's view, an audience view. I feel like this would have been a slap in the face. I feel like this would have been a huge, huge slap in the face to the audience because there was so much hype and so much promise about the first female captain.
Right. Well, then here's the thing. The question is, who replaces her? Is it another lady, or is it maybe Commander Cavett, who was the original first officer? Is it Chakotay? I mean, you're really changing the whole freaking show. So there's infinite possibilities here. And I don't think it would have worked. I think there would have been so much outrage and backlash because of this. You know, the whole hype behind the first female captain. If she would have died, it would have been like, what? Are you kidding me? Now, here's the thing. I think the one way it would have worked is if we would have started off with a male captain. And then the Janeway, as a first officer, would have risen up and had to take over.
I think that would have worked better. But at the same time, you got to think about the mindset. And also, this would be, if this happened today, like if that happened today, it'd be a much bigger deal than what it would happen back then because of the internet and also the certain culture that we're in. And I'm about to explain myself.
Okay.
Is that the woman did not earn that position.
Oh, that's true. And then she's got to prove herself. And it's already hard enough when you're a woman, unfortunately, still in this day and age, much less back in 1995.
Exactly. So the sheer fact that the producers say, like, okay, we're going to give you her, we're going to give you your first female captain who's leading a show, but she totally didn't get that commission on her own right. Just because a man died, did she get that commission?
That's so true. I'm glad you made that point. No, that sucks. Let's not do that. No, that didn't happen. Thank God.
I feel like, to go from this perspective, I feel like Caretaker is just completely off the table.
Okay, yeah, it's awful. It wouldn't have worked, and I think Voyager would have crashed and burned as a result. I think that's what we're really concluding with this.
Yeah, absolutely. So, like, the beginning of the series, like, even though, like, that's interesting to think about because we want to dissect this from all angles,
I just
don't think in any way, shape, or form would the beginning of the show work for the death of Janeway.
Nope, I think it would have been even more troubled to start off than it already was with the whole Genevieve Bujold crisis and all the hype and, oh my gosh, you know, will they or won't they with a female captain? Yeah, you're right. Mm-hmm. It would have just been a disaster. So thank goodness that didn't happen. And thank goodness for Kate Mulgrew for being a badass and stepping in like she did and showing everybody who's boss, because that's what she does. All right. Well, I started off with Caretaker. Where would you like to take the next point here? Like, where do you think would be a good place, if there is any, like, that would have made sense for Janeway to die?
The thing for me, and I think what really spurned this was, like, what got me thinking about where she could die or where, you know, like, what instances where she almost died or the crew thought she died, in the suggestion from our listener, in that suggestion, he talked about how they were constantly setting up Janeway to die, like, they almost wanted to get rid of her.
It's true. She has a death wish. Like, she's willing to sacrifice herself at pretty much any given moment.
Well, here's the thing, though, is that, like, I don't quite agree with that. Like, I don't quite agree with what he said. Like, with all due respect to the listener, and this is a great this is a great suggestion, and I know this is all just perspective. This is all just, personal opinion. I don't think the producers are setting her up to die all the time. I think it was just putting the captain in dangerous situations. Like, I don't think like they wanted to get rid of her, and so they're just like they set it up, and then we're like, oh, yeah. You know, then they changed their mind at the last minute. I don't think if that's what you were suggesting, I don't think that's what it is. And if that wasn't what you're suggesting,
I agree with you there. But I do think that Janeway was more than happy to sacrifice herself if it meant saving the rest of her ship, because that's. I don't know. You could say that that's what a good captain does, but it seemed like she was almost like too ready and willing to sacrifice herself sometimes, like in Night.
Yeah.
You know, that just is one example. But yeah, I agree. The producers didn't want to get rid of her. No.
And that's my standpoint. And so to answer that question, what got me thinking on that mindset as I was like, okay, well, what are those instances where she constantly almost died? And what's the first episode that you think of about Janeway almost dying?
Coda.
Exactly. Coda. Episode 15 of season 3. I feel like, just to use this as a jumping off point, okay, so we established her in season 1. We established her as a badass in season 2. Mm-hmm. And we're halfway through it, more than halfway through it in season 3, in the middle. I feel like if you're going to do a change, this is when you do it. And
really?
When was Scorpion?
Scorpion was the end of season 3, starting off season 4.
Exactly. Think about that. That they made a major change at the end of season 3 with getting rid of Kes and bringing in Seven of Nine.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
This is a nice point to do amazing changes, to do monumental changes. And so I feel like if you're going to kill off a main character like they did with Kes, I know it's not really kill, but you know what I mean.
She disappeared into the ether.
Into the void. Yeah. If you're going to
do that. No, not the void.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
that comes actually, later.
that actually means something in the show.
It does, yes. But I know what you're saying.
Yeah, if you're going to get rid of a character, I think this is the time to do it. And so I feel like you could have used Coda as a point where, like, you add this, you raise the stakes just a little bit. And Jane, like, this alien is like, okay, listen, like, I'm going to do this to your entire crew. Like, I am going to find, like, your crew is on the verge of death constantly. I'm going to do this for every single member of the crew. And she finds a way that if she goes with him or if she sacrifices herself, it inhibits him from doing that to anybody else or inhibits him from doing it with the crew. And so she goes out that way. And then we end the episode with Chakotay, you know, holding Catherine, just screaming and crying.
Oh, God.
And so, like, if, like, this, like, not saying I want this to happen, but if...
Yeah, no, please. My heart is just bleeding right now.
But if the producers wanted to get rid of her, I think this would have been the key spot, because we establish who the character is, we like the character, but at the same time, it's not a last-ditch effort to establish somebody else. And so, what do you think of that? What do you think about that point? And if we do like that point, let's talk about how the show would go after that.
Okay, I do not like this at all. And actually, I disagree with a lot of what you said here. I think Janeway was really just starting to hit her stride in season 3. You could tell Kate Mulgrew is much more comfortable playing her. She's got a very, very confident presence in her with season 3. And you don't want this to be the moment where she gets killed. I think there's so much more left that... I mean, if maybe things weren't working out so well, yeah, make her the sacrificial victim. But especially with an episode like Coda, it would be like a Tasha Yar death. I'm sorry. It would be a lot more meaningless. And it would just be, really? You're going to do this now? Really? But here's where, I don't know. Voyager was obviously not Game of Thrones, where main cast members got sacrificed all the time. Despite the whole Kes thing that happened right about here, what would be more interesting about this scenario is not Janeway's death so much as what happens. So let's talk about that. Like, what happens afterward? Because then Chakotay has to not only deal with Catherine's death, but he does have to take over. What is more interesting about this is not so much Janeway's death, is the fallout of what would happen after. So you'd have Chakotay not only dealing with Catherine's death, but then he's got to assume command of the ship and keep everybody going.
Mm-hmm.
And that in itself could be a very emotional, complex, potentially well-written story, and therefore it would change the direction of the show. Where do you think that would lead?
I think this would lead into some very interesting territory. And I do agree with you that this is the interesting part. And this is the crux of our podcast, because I disagree with your disagreements that you made about Coda.
Fine, but, fair enough.
But if she, like, obviously you and I don't want her to leave. But if she had to leave, if she had to leave at some point, you know, like we just have to pick one and then go with it. And so with this, I feel like what would happen is Chakotay would be the captain, Tuvok would be the first officer, and then the person, like, next in line after Tuvok, and this is before his demotion, would be Tom Paris. And so you have bing bang boom, three men in power.
Yeah.
So this is a big power shift when it comes to gender perspective on Star Trek, as well as, you know, like, in the show within the ship. And so I feel like Seven of Nine would still come on, but Kes wouldn't leave.
You're probably right.
I don't think that they would get rid of another woman and they would just bring on another woman. And so you would have to shift the dynamics of power a lot. And so I feel like that would still happen. And so we get to see how Chakotay would deal with the Borg all on his own instead of battling with the captain. And so what I would have liked to see is see Chakotay mourn at the same time as trying to lead, as you talked about, and, like, basically everybody shifting up one. Like, everyone shifting up in their roles. And so, does Paris still fly the ship? Is, like, who becomes the security officer?
Right, yeah, because would you see Tom replacing Tuvok in his position? I don't think so.
No, I don't think it would work that way. And I feel like Tom would still fly the ship, but he would be the second officer.
Harry would become the security officer.
That's the thing, is that, like, from what we see from TNG is, you know, does it absolutely work that way? Because in the world of TNG, it's very different from Voyager, because how we saw Worf get promoted, like, he got promoted to security officer, and then security officer got promoted to operations. See, Harry is in operations already, and he's a lower standing than Tuvok. In TNG, it was security and then operations. But in Voyager, it's kind of looking like operations then security. So,
I mean, does it really matter that we have to follow the same hierarchy as TNG? I mean, that's maybe just the way it went on that ship.
Oh, that's what I'm saying, is that, like, we can go by our own rules here because they aren't as well established. But I don't think Harry Kim has the chops for it. And so what I was going to suggest is that maybe instead of putting Seven in a weird nebulous thing, maybe she somehow finds her way to security.
Seven of Nine running security. That is so interesting, since she is a ex-Borg and is really trying to find herself.
Yeah, don't say no right away. Just think about it.
I'm this is running through my mind right now, and I think this is an eventual possibility, but right away, right off the bat, would you trust somebody who was just a member of the Borg Collective to run security? I don't think so.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. Right away, no, not at all.
No. No, I would say maybe season 6 and 7 you could see that shift. Mm-hmm. Because she would prove herself at that point. But right off the bat, no. Somebody else has to come in, and I don't know. Maybe it would be a junior officer. We could have, like, a Mr. O'Brien come in, and he wouldn't be on all the time, but you would see him here and there, and he would get an episode or two, like, I don't know, maybe Lieutenant Ayala or something.
Like Mulcahy?
Yeah. Somebody.
Yeah, somebody, because, like, it could be kind of that situation like in the first season of Next Generation, where we get, like, 5 different engineers.
Oh my god, yeah, yeah. Well, then think about that, how Geordi, he was running the ship, he was flying it, but then eventually became engineer. I mean, we could just completely shuffle cards here and see what happens, because I wouldn't see B'Elanna becoming first officer and then somebody else becoming a chief engineer, you know. She's the best qualified for that job.
So with TNG being able to shuffle things around completely, you know, like, what would be your dream scenario here? Like, and this can be pretty much placed at any time, like, whether Janeway died in Coda or a different time during the run, what would your dream scenario be? Like, who would be in what position? Would people stay the same, or what would it be?
Okay, here's what I'm thinking is, I totally agree about Tom Paris being the pilot of the ship. That does not change, and he's still second officer. But Harry takes over security. Okay. I really think that that's a possibility. I don't know if it's necessarily a promotion for him. And I don't know if he would still get another pip on his collar. Maybe Chakotay, maybe that would be the big difference, is that Chakotay would actually promote Harry. So he could be Lieutenant Kim running security, and then we could just have some no-name running ops, an extra.
Well, you know what? You know what? You know, like, actually, now that I'm thinking about it, I like your idea a whole lot better because, you know, like, think about this: what security is most of the time on Voyager. It's, you know, running the sensors and running the weapons and everything like that. Mm-hmm. Harry knows how to do that. If he knows how to run operations, he knows how to run security. It would just be a shift, you know, on the ground when he was the man on the ground and, like, trying to investigate things like that. It would be different.
Right. But he went to the academy. He's trained to do combat.
Right, and it also would be a way to see growth in Harry and see a growth in his character.
Yes, oh my gosh, could you imagine him learning to learn, like, to maybe refine his skills as a tactician and that sort of a thing? Oh my god, he could do something besides press buttons all the time on the bridge!
And think about it from this perspective. My idea of putting Seven on the bridge, she would be a much better fit in operations than she would in security.
And that would be, I would say, a more logical step.
Yeah, and I like that a whole lot more than what I suggested earlier because, just for the reasons that you stated, like, oh, it totally wouldn't work. They couldn't
and
trust
then,
her.
Like, I don't know. I could still see Seven working astrometrics, but she's splitting her time. Like, her actual occupation is ops, but she is working in conjunction with astrometrics to do her job more fully, and then that is a more complete role.
And that is a more complete role and definitely a bigger play on her talents because she is the smartest human being that has ever lived.
Pretty much.
And would you need the smartest human being ever in security, but you might need it in science and operations?
Yeah, no offense to Harry, but yeah, pretty much anybody could go into security and learn that job and be good at it. And it would still be a good fit for him, but yeah, with Seven, it's a no-brainer.
And so I think we've agreed on a rundown here. So Chakotay would be captain. Yep. Tuvok, first officer, Seven in ops, Harry in security, and then Tom still at the con, and B'Elanna still in engineering. Are we missing anyone?
I don't think so, because we're going to keep everybody else where they're at. I mean, the doctor's got to be the doctor. Neelix is in the kitchen. Now, here's a big question. What about Kes? How is she going to change as a result of all this? Or is she? She'd better.
I don't think that they would change her character. I think that she would still explore her, psychokinetic abilities and everything like that. I feel like she would still explore that with Tuvok. And I don't think that she would continue a relationship with Neelix. I think that would still be out.
That could fizzle out. That would be fine. Yeah.
Yeah. I would see her deal with aging more. I would see her, like, have her visibly age as well as age in wisdom and perspective.
Yeah. Okay, here I have a great idea, I think. And I always wanted to see Kes deal with the aspect of aging because that's the interesting thing about her species, right? Is they only live 9 years. And so really, if you're going for a full 7-year run, you're going to see the vast majority of Kes's life cycle. Mm-hmm. And never mind the fact that Jennifer Lean was allergic to the makeup. And let's take that out of the equation and say that we do put aging makeup on her and we do have Kes mature and become this wise old woman over the years. What if she became, in essence, the de facto counselor? You know, I mean, never mind the whole telekinetic thing. I mean, you know, she could be Deanna Troi 2.0, but much vastly improved. Like a real counselor. People know to go to her for advice. Like she's this weird hybrid between the appeal of going to Guinan, but with the expertise of an actual counselor. Let's just say a la Deanna Troi.
I think that's a good idea, especially if we keep her on.
Yeah, she's got to do something.
But the thing is that she was so engrossed in medicine that I would have liked to have seen her grow in that a whole lot more and then keep Neelix as the counselor, keep him as the morale officer, let him do the thing because they kind of both shared those duties. So I would have liked to have seen Kes progress so much that the doctor's program is gone, not gone permanently, but like there's a technical error and he's gone for a day and she has to perform her own surgery.
Her own surgery? Okay, that would be an interesting episode right there. But I was thinking, she's going to learn as much as she possibly can about the medical profession, but then she absorbs so much knowledge that honestly, she gets a little bored and she needs to do something else. So she gets more engrossed, maybe because of her telekinetic abilities, in the mind and the complexities of that. And so then she learns more and more about why people do what they do. And then that you kind of have that psychological element that makes her want to understand people a little more. Combined with her wisdom, makes her a really good person to go to talk with when there's a problem.
I agree.
Boom! And we got the best of all worlds there.
I think you're right in that aspect, but I am much more fascinated with her being in the medical field than because I think what we saw was they tried to find a replacement and they did this half-hearted thing with Paris.
And yeah, I never
like that. Never ever like that.
It didn't make any sense. Oh, you had 2 semesters of biology? Well, you're a field medic now.
Yeah, it was just weird. Like, you can't tell me out of a crew of 150 thereabouts that I know it's a show and it's a TV show, and so we have to use the main characters, but I was just like, really, Tom's the best?
Really?
You know, out of that? Yeah.
Come on. Yeah, Tommy did everything.
Now, I feel like we would be remiss if we didn't talk about the episode before and after.
Oh, well, sure. Yeah. Okay.
Because this was just a couple episodes after Coda. This was episode 21 of season 3.
Yeah.
And this was when Cass was jumping back and forth in time. We saw this arc. This was the beginning of the Year of Hell arc, where we first deal with the Critum and we get a glimpse of what it would be like. And the thing is that Janeway and B'Elanna die in this alternate future around this timeline. And so we do see a Captain Chakotay, and we see a promoted Paris and promoted Kim. But the thing is, we never see them on the bridge or really know what their roles are.
Right. No, it's just stated that's what happened.
It's just stated that that's what happened. And so we don't really know. We can assume that Tuvok would be the new first officer. I think they mentioned that. I can't remember.
I can't either. That's awful.
But we have no idea what else happened. So we don't know who replaced her. Replace B'Elanna as engineer. We have no idea if Tom is still flying the ship. We have no idea if Harry's still in ops. If I'm remembering correctly, I should have watched this episode before we talked.
I didn't think about it either, just for the record.
Yeah, if I'm getting things wrong, people, you know, please forgive me. I feel like that was another jumping off point where this kind of showed us what would happen if at least Janeway died during the Year of Hell storyline. So I feel like we're definitely giving it a little bit more breadth. Because this was focused on Kes and her storyline. Yeah.
Yeah. Never mind the fact that Voyager was so episodic. If you did do something like this, let's just say logistically, Kate Mulgrew wanted out of her contract, and so they decided, like they do on Star Trek, okay, we're going to kill off the character.
Yeah.
And this is how they did it. There would have to be consequences, and they would have to have a little bit of ongoing stuff, like Chakotay mourning Catherine's death. You would have to address that, and it would have to be in more than one episode because it would affect the way that he captains the ship. And there's going to be some fallout for that, and what happens is you're going to have to explore that a little bit.
Do you know what I think would be really, really great is Tuvok, the emotionless one, helping Chakotay through this mourning period because Tuvok knew Catherine the best. And I feel like we could have had a really, really great moment, kind of a la Best of Both Worlds, where Guinan comes in to talk to Riker in the ready room. Mm-hmm. And, Riker's kind of looking at the chair saying, what would you do? You know, we have that moment with Chakotay in the ready room looking at something that was hers saying, what would Catherine do? What would she do? And Tuvok says, you have to throw out that book. You have to throw out everything that she did because you are your own captain. You have to make your own decisions. And as much as I miss her, as much as I respected her, you are the captain now. And so, you have to get over this in order to do your job. You know, just have one of those moments.
Right. Well, he's got to grieve, But Tuvok, that's a great idea because not only did Tuvok and Janeway have a great bond, but I like the idea of Tuvok and Chakotay establishing a really solid bond because if you think way back when, they didn't exactly like each other because Tuvok was a spy.
Let's talk about that. Let's talk about how do you think that relationship would go? Because that is a much more intimate relationship than what Chakotay and Tuvok had previously. So they're going to have that camaraderie. They're going to have that trust. What pitfalls do you think would be there? What great moments do you think would be there?
You know, I think Chakotay would initially be really turned off by the whole idea. He wouldn't like it. He would accept it. But he would be very slow to warm to Tuvok. And there would eventually be this moment, though, where he would start to trust him. There would be a turning point that we would see. And then from there, they would have each other's backs. But you could go through a nice arc of showing how these two, he would just maybe be a 2-year-old and defying every little thing, defying every little thing that Tuvok is suggesting. Like, no, that is not what I'm going to do. I refuse to even think about that. How dare you? Going from that to, I trust you implicitly. I know you have my back and I've got yours. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
I feel like there's going to be definite growing pains. I feel like this would be an opportunity to show the growing pains that they should have shown a little bit more with Chakotay and Janeway. Mm-hmm. I feel like...
Yes, definitely. We started off that way and then it fizzled so fast.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I feel like this would have been an opportunity to show that struggle, to show kind of that struggle that Sisko and Kira had in Deep Space Nine.
Yeah, I think it would have been like that.
Yeah, I feel like that it would have been much more akin to that than any other pairing that we've seen. Mm-hmm. And
agreed.
And so it's just, you know, like they have completely different ideologies. They have completely different command styles, but yet it grows into a real extreme moment of respect. I feel like there would be a knockdown dragout more than once between these two characters, like where you almost thought it would come to blows kind of thing.
Oh, and we know that Chakotay can throw a punch.
But yeah, we know that Chakotay can throw a punch, but we also know that Chakotay is smart enough not to hit a Vulcan.
Well, right, yeah, Vulcans kind of have the superior strength going, so that would be really interesting just to see both characters, kind of their blood boiling a little bit.
Yeah, and just, not
I
only...
I hate you so much right now,
and
but I'm
not only
walk
is
away.
This a Vulcan who has superior strength, but this is a Vulcan who has superior strength who knows martial arts.
Yeah, I think Chakotay would have his you-know-what handed to him, and Chakotay knows that, though.
Yeah, and so, like, I feel like, and you shouldn't have a fistfight like that between the captain and first officer just for ratings. One thing that you could absolutely do is you could have this moment where it's like, they are nose-to-nose, they are face-to-face, and, like, you, like, Tuvok is hiding behind that cold Vulcan exterior, but you know from the history of him that he's boiling underneath. I feel like there's definitely going to be those moments.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and wouldn't that be fun to watch? And then think about the growth for each of those characters that would come out of that. I hate to say it, but we might have had a better show.
I love Catherine Janeway.
I do, too.
She is an amazing captain. She's our captain for this show, and I'm so great that they didn't kill her. But the thing is that what we're suggesting for the growth of these other characters, I feel like it could have happened even if Janeway didn't die, but in different forms. But think about what we're suggesting. We're seeing more directed growth for Seven. Mm-hmm. We see the relationship between Chakotay and Tuvok have contention, which wasn't really explored too much within the Janeway crew.
We have
Harry growing with security and learning new skills, and we see him learn those new skills. Mm-hmm. And we see Kes and Seven interact together. And we also see maybe B'Elanna, because she's now the highest ranking female of the ship, rise up in different roles, you know, that she wouldn't necessarily would have because of. Like, yeah, she's staying the same in engineering, but just I'm talking about from a production standpoint and from a show standpoint.
Sure, yeah. You're right. Yes, that dynamic would have to change because of the balance of power. You're right. And then who knows what that would have meant for Roxanne Dawson's career? I don't know.
Yeah,
and just thinking overall in a big, broad picture, we wouldn't have ended the last three or four seasons as the Doctor, Seven, and Janeway show.
Mm-hmm.
And the other characters wouldn't have suffered as a result. And it would have been a very, very different show. I think we've outlined that pretty well. I have even more ideas for later on in the series if they would have killed her off. I think we're going to have to do a part two.
Oh, okay. All right.
But we'll save that for later. Just even based off of this one idea alone with Coda, that is just one possibility out of, let's just say, 100-some episode opportunities to imagine this scenario. Because depending on which part of the series Janeway would potentially die, there's a lot of ways the show could have changed direction, things that could have fallen out in different ways. I think we're going to have to do a part two because I've got more ideas and we haven't even hit anything beyond season three.
I know, and that's the thing is that, like, my main idea, my main crux, like, what I came into this episode that I was absolutely going to talk about at length was going to be Endgame.
Really? Okay, and I want to talk about Equinox, so I think this very much justifies a part two. But we're going to have to wait on that. Because if we keep going, we're going to record another 40 minutes and we're already at our episode length already. Possibilities are not the only thing that we've been talking about here on Trek FM this week. And so here's a little glimpse at what else is happening on the network.
Previously on Trek.fm, Standard Orbit.
And celebrate his life and celebrate his work and his talent and his integrity. And if you get a tear in the eye, that's okay. That's he would approve. Spock would approve. And, you know, he'd say, you humans, why do you feel you need to do this? But he would approve.
Earl Grey.
Like, I'm expecting Ricardo Martaban to, like, walk around the corner and be like, Captain Picard, welcome.
This is Risa 5.
The shuttlecraft.
The orb.
Usually you want to be able to capture it or isolate one, but you can't do that either because it just keeps, you know, so really does seem like a conundrum of, okay, how do we take this down?
You know, this minefield, they are the tribbles of war.
To the journey! One guy's like, why don't we just write better stories for Wesley? And then the lead writer's like, you out now! The ready room.
Riker's all pissed because he can't prop his leg up with no gravity.
He tries, though. He tries.
He's trying. I can picture it. He's
but got then the momentum just, makes him somersault.
Which really just makes him look spread eagle.
Going in circles.
He's spinning.
Commentary, Trek Stars.
It's also the end of a character and a thing that is really about how death is just a part of life. And that while there's an end, it doesn't mean that it's the end.
Literary Treks.
Well, actually, it started out life as a comic book pitch. I originally came up with it to pitch to Wildstorm back when they had the comics license. The idea was it would be a one-year series that would run throughout the 12 calendar months of 2001, which was the 35th anniversary of Star Trek.
The 602 Club.
Sometimes that just works better because you can create and craft a story that's very compelling because you're not having to worry about what's happened other places. Okay, we have to make sure this is going to connect to this, and my guess is somehow Agent Carter is going to have something to do with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. later on, and maybe something that happens in Age of Ultron.
Warp 5.
In the history of Axanar, Alec Peters and Christian Gossett wrote a section of the history dealing with the Arcanus campaign. And in the Arcanus campaign, a majority of Starfleet ships were destroyed.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
So check out all of our shows. We're available on virtually every platform where you can get your podcasts, and none of them are possible without the help of our sponsors. So let's hear a little bit about that.
Our sponsor for the show is Audible.com. Audible is a great way for you to read all the books you've always wanted to, but never thought you had the time for. Audible is the premier source for audiobooks with more than 150,000 titles to choose from, and new titles coming every week. From classics to current bestsellers, Audible has something for everyone. You'll be happy to hear that both Mosaic and Pathways are available from Audible. As a Trek.fm listener, you can get a free audiobook of your choice along with a 30-day trial to see just how great Audible is. Just go to audibletrial.com/trekfm and sign up today. Again, that's audibletrial.com/trekfm, and we thank you and Audible for supporting To the Journey and Trek.fm.
Another way that we have people helping us here on Trek FM is through, as PBS likes to say, listeners like you. And you can do that through Patreon. Go to patreon.com/trekfm and consider becoming a monthly subscriber if you haven't already done so. There's various levels of contribution, and there are different perks based on the levels of contribution in it for you. And we'd like to thank our associate producers who've already helped us out. And we have a new one, as a matter of fact. We would like to welcome Jamie Deuce as a new associate producer of TTJ, but we also have Kenneth Tripp and Lisa Stevens as associate producers. So please follow Lisa on Twitter at Flip18, and thanks very much to all of you who support TTJ and Trek FM at large. So before we go, I want to thank somebody for leaving an iTunes review in the US iTunes store, and that person is Tanada1945. This person gave us 5 stars, wrote us a short review, and this person complimented us on the length of our podcast, saying it's just right. And we've always tried our best to stick to 30 to 45 minutes. Sometimes we're going a little bit above because we're getting into these topics, but we do try to keep you guys wanting more, and so we appreciate that compliment. It lets us know that we're doing something right here. Let's roll on to next week. We've got another awesome listener-submitted topic in store for you. Tristan, what is that?
What we're doing next week is, I think, really interesting, and we've only done once before. What we're going to be doing is we're going to be writing an episode on the fly. It's where Char and I don't think about what topics we want to talk about. We don't write it out. We don't even think about it. We're just like, okay, we're doing an episode on the fly.
Yep, into it blind.
And normally we, like what we did that one time before was we're just like, okay, we're going to write an episode and that's all that we had. But next week, because this was suggested by a listener, and this is a great suggestion, what about the Mirror Universe? And so right. We're going to write a Mirror Universe episode of Voyager, which we never got in the in the 7-season run, on the fly, in front of your ear holes. But you'll have to tune in next week to find out.
That's right. So until then, everybody, this has been To the Journey.
To the Journey!